Our scripture reading this morning comes from John chapter 14, verses 1 through 7. It's related to the anthem, the big house. So let us listen for God's word and listen for any particular words or phrases that might speak to you or might need to be shared within our congregation. So from the 14th chapter of John, Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I'm going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." May God bless our hearing and understanding of this scripture. It's a pretty familiar scripture. But did you hear a new word this morning? Melanie. Where I am, you will be also. Jesus is always with us, and that's a promise. Donna. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. Those are powerful words. Yeah. Yes, Sherry. If you know me, you also know my Father. Jesus is our best way to know God. Yeah. Well, in my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. In his big house. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our Redeemer. Well, how many of you recognized the anthem today, Big House? A few. As I was saying, it was one that we knew very well a while back. It was written by a Christian band, Audio Adrenaline, around 30 years or so ago. And it was our favorite praise song, as I mentioned, when I was leading youth ministry back in Oklahoma. And every once in a while, it has a bit of a comeback. Just, as I guess, about 8 years ago, Shannon and I got to see Audio Adrenaline in concert in Binghamton, New York. I'm going to sing just a little bit of the chorus for you because it has such a simple yet powerful message. Come and go with me to my Father's house. Come and go with me to my Father's house. It's a big, big house with lots and lots of room. A big, big table with lots and lots of food. A big, big yard where we can play football. A big, big house. It's my Father's house. Now, we always yelled touchdown when we came to the football part in the song. And, of course, raised our arms appropriately. I tried to do that with one arm when I was singing, but that was hard. So, go Lions. Oh, that's next week. Go Broncos. This week. And I hope they are still doing well as they are playing at this moment. made me wonder. I had to ask Melanie who she was rooting for today. Don't ask her. But I'm here today to tell you that your Heavenly Father has a really big house. Just like the song says, our God has a house that is bigger than anything you can imagine. And that ought to change our way of thinking and acting in this world. In the Gospel of John, Jesus has been pointing the way towards something bigger, toward God, whom he called Abba, or Daddy. An obvious emphasis on his relationship with God. He said, "My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." Well, I encouraged you last week to get to know God better in 2025. And that means getting to know where God lives. So this week, I encourage you to consider God's big house, not just heaven, a place to go after death. That is, yes, a part of Jesus' eternal promises, but the focus of Jesus' teaching today in our scripture is on relationship, residing in relationship with God, in the present and for eternity. As Jesus resides in relationship with God, both now and forever. Now, the Greek word for rooms or dwelling places is meno, which is used repeatedly by Jesus to tell where he abides. He talks about abiding in many places during his life on earth. It's not a place. It's a relationship, abiding in God. "You know the way to the place where I'm going," Jesus said. "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Well, Thomas obviously didn't understand this. And he said, "We don't know the way." So Jesus said again, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Now, "I am the way" is not an exclusionary statement about who is not the way or who is not included, but it's an invitation. "I am the way" is an invitation to be with Jesus and go with Jesus in his relationship between him and God. An invitation made explicit in verse 3, "I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am," in relationship with God. And this ought to change our way of thinking and acting in the church and in our world. Now, the reason I love the song Big House is that when I look closely at the words, as that chorus I just sang, I see a word picture, a portrait in common language of what John 14 might look like today. My Father's house is a big house, is a really big house with lots of room so everyone is included. It has lots of provisions, whatever anyone might need in life, unlike our present world situation with 35%, as I last counted, or 2.8 billion people on this planet who cannot afford a healthy diet. God's big house has plenty of room for play, football, music, art, opportunities for community building, for relationship building. It's a place of rest, a home, a place to belong, a place to return to from your journeys. It's a place of community, of trust, of loving relationships, where you can be yourself and be accepted just as you are. It is a place of family, where people are on your side through thick and thin, even when you disagree, even when you sin or fail. Okay, maybe the portrait is a little hard to see when you look around at our world today. The powers of this world are all about pointing out the scarcity of our world's resources, as if God did not create enough for his master plan, his big house. These powers, though, know that without a feeling of scarcity, there is no value or power in owning or controlling scarce resources. You see, in a world where resources are shared freely to those in need, there would be no scarcity. And the economic experts that I read about continue to tell us that there is enough food to feed the entire world population, but not if too many of us choose to live exorbitantly and waste or hoard the resources for our own comfort or profit. But I'll ask you a poll question. Scarcity or abundance? When you look around at our world, which do you see? Scarcity or abundance? How many say scarcity? Some? How many say abundance? I think I've trained myself to see that, but yeah, there's some of both. You see, when you establish a vision of scarcity in the world, what happens is we establish fear in our world. Fear that you won't get your share. And that goes for rich or poor. When that fear of scarcity crops up, all of a sudden the person next to you or that person across the globe from you becomes your competitor for scarce resources. And that competition breeds mistrust. Is that competitor playing by the same rules? Do they have an unfair advantage? Skin color, gender, nationality? Do they enlist God or Allah or capitalism or stimulus policies or free market or trickle-down economics? Soon, we start seeing every person as an other or a stranger or even demon-possessed. It is the source of the conspiracy theories that become so prevalent because they are built on that fear of the other, which leaves us with self-protection and selfishness as a choice. And self-protection then becomes exclusion and eventually conflict and war in our world. We can call all of this our human little house, or we can call it sacrilegious, blasphemous, sinful, certainly against God's purposes in the Bible. The good news, it was into our human little house that God came to live among us as Jesus, to teach us about God's big house, the kingdom of God, the reign of love in our world. As we read also in John, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict, Jesus says. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. First, God gave the world his big house. He gave it away for us to use or misuse. And then he sent Jesus to show us how to use this big house, how to live in it. We certainly misuse Jesus as well. But 2,000 years after that light came into the world, people still choose darkness, the little house. But there is good news. The light is still coming into the world. But that light comes one person at a time, or one family, or one church at a time. Each time requiring a decision, a choice. And the choice really comes down to, which house will you live in? Which house will we live in as a church? It's our choice. Jesus stands at this table each week, waiting for our answer, our choice. And we stand before him like that rich young ruler in the Gospels, who lived and thrived in the little house. He followed all the little house rules, protecting his own interests, his own family, even his own church, everything required for life in the little house. Jesus said, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." You see, apparently one really can't live in that little house, or at least the little house rules or values of scarcity, and also live in God's big house of abundance. It's kind of like, as Jesus would say, a camel fitting through the eye of a needle. You have to choose one or the other. You have to choose scarcity in the little house or abundance in God's big house. You have to choose to compete with the other in the little house or love your neighbor in God's big house. You have to choose to exclude and distrust or demonize in the little house or welcome, accept, forgive in God's big house. On the larger scale, you have to choose to side with the forces of power, privilege, and protection in the little house, or justice, mercy, and love for neighbor and for God in God's big house. Jesus showed us the way. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life in God's big house. But we have to choose. We have to decide. And this would be a good time for our church in this new year, new leaders coming on board and ministries getting started, a big one starting tonight. And looking around us, a little house world seemingly getting littler and littler and littler and harder for a church to thrive or survive in. And oh, how little house our world continues to get. Little thinking, little loving, little living. We see it in all parts of our lives. But we still have a choice. We can still choose to change our way of thinking and acting in this world and in even as a church. Will we choose little house living? Or this year, will you, as the song says, come and go with me to my Father's big house of abundance? Won't you come and go with me to my Father's house, his big, big house. Our take-home question is, how do we live as First Christian Church in God's big house today? It's a challenge. Will you pray with me? God of mercy and love, God of acceptance and forgiveness, God of power and God of peace, we come to worship you and give you thanks that you give us a bigger vision for this world, for this life that you've given us. A life of abundance is what you intend for each of us. A life that goes beyond the little thinking that we see all around us. And we pray, oh God, that you would share with us your vision for this church, of how we can see the abundance of what you have given us and what you have built within us over 140 years and what you have in mind for the years to come. We put our trust in you and find our hope in you and your Son, Jesus. Amen.